Today is going to be more of a teaching, and I'll explain why I'm doing this, kind of sort of back to basics. But last week, the Barna Research Group, it's a Christian research group. They're one of the best research Christian research groups out there. You know how they have Quinnipiac polls and things like that. Barna Research is like the tops in faith, Christianity, and things like that. So they recently did a study on faith in America. And according to their list, they listed the top 10 areas with the least amount of faith in God in the United States. So they listed the top 10 counties, areas, regions with the least amount of faith in God. Top 10. Now the first 8 of them are right here in New England. And that really hit me hard. The other 2 are on the West Coast, Washington, state of Washington area, Seattle, I think, and a place in California. But the top 8 are right here. And our area is number 6. Now, why that's shocking is because the gospel came to New England first. When it got here, on the ships, we were the first to get it. And now we are the least of those that have faith in God in this area. Scary. It's kind of sad. You know, right down the block, not even a half a mile from here, there's a rock on the Post Road that says in July of 1780 or something like that, Jesse Lee once stood here and preached, "You must be born again." And Jesse Lee was the founder of the modern Methodist movement, they say, in this area. Cranberry Chapel. Anybody know Cranberry Chapel? Up, not too far up. Cranberry Chapel housed the Great Reformation that came through these parts, and the Second Great Reformation, when you had guys like Charles Finney, and these are great preachers that walked through these parts right here, and revival throughout this whole area. And to hear that the top 8 of the least amount of faith in God are right here, it's kind of scary. So I did a little experimenting this week, and I purposely antagonized people. So everywhere I went, every cashier I met, every person I ran into, I brought up the topic of faith. And I said, you know, what do you believe in? You know, are you going to heaven? And I asked all the questions, and every single one came up with the same type of answer. I'm a good person, you know, so I know God's not going to hold it against me. There is no such thing as hell. I believe if you just believe in what you believe in, you could believe in what you believe in. And, you know, I told them I was a Christian. I believe Jesus is the way. I said, well, you can believe in what you believe in, but, you know, I believe that this is the best way to heaven, and heaven is what you make of it. And so I got the same answers, every single person. And I didn't run into anybody who knew about real faith in God and about Christianity and about going to heaven. Not one person. Now, I know James just walked into. James, don't take this. I know this is James Peters. No. I'm going to talk about your mom for a minute. That's why. One of the things that has stood with me for the last 5, 6, how long has she gone? 9, 8 years? 7? 8 will be September soon, right? 2 weeks? So before Mary Lou passed away, she called Janice and I, and scene 2. That'll go away. Apologize to everybody on Facebook Live. Leo is an amateur. Leo's running things. Scene 2, hit scene 2. You did it? Sorry, guys. No, don't put that up yet. No, not you, Sharon. Get that off the screen. All right, good. So back to what I was saying. So one of the things that stuck with me with Mary Lou before she died, 2 weeks before she passed away, she called Janice and I and said, can you please come over to my house? And we went over and sat down. I said, what's the matter? She goes, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. And I said, I want to know. I want to be guaranteed because I want to go to heaven. And, you know, she knew she was going to heaven. We just had to walk her through the steps and just to make sure, give her the scriptures and understand. But that has never left me. And so when I heard this research come out and other things, I said to myself, you know, how can I have been preaching all these years? I could have church members that don't really know why they're going to heaven. You know, it could be, if I don't take every one of you to heaven with me, I've failed. I haven't done my job. Because there really is a hell, and there really is a heaven. And the truth about going to heaven, and I'm going to say it in a way you may not like it, but how easy it is, how guaranteed it is to go to heaven, how God has given us the guarantee, is so easy that we add to it and we mess it up. And so what I want to do today is just teach on it, just really deep down, dirty guts. How do you know you're going to heaven? So I'm going to ask you a question, okay? And I want you to be really honest with me. How many of you think, hear my words, think you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. I want you to be honest. Don't look around. Just think you're going to heaven. Okay, great. That's fine. How many of you know like you know you're going to heaven? Okay, good. Great. How many of you know that no matter what you did last night, you're still going to heaven? Good. All right. So that's what we're just going to talk about today. What does it take to get to heaven? So put on the first slide. Know you're going to heaven? That's it. Are you sure you're going to heaven? So we're going to talk about that. Is that all right? I mean, because if we don't hit these basics, because the Bible says the devil messes with our minds. And he can add all these things to your salvation where it becomes one of works. And then you don't really know what faith in God is, what salvation is. And you can be out there thinking you're okay, and you're really not. And so we're just going to get into some of the guts of it today, all right? Good? John chapter 3, you there? Everybody good? All right. John chapter 3. Now you may say this, I know this, Pastor. Well, maybe you don't know it as good as you think you know it. But I want to make sure everybody in here this morning goes to heaven. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, underline that, know that term. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So let me ask you again, is it about being good? No. Is it about following some teacher? Is it about being a different religion? Is it about religion? It isn't. It's about being born again, period. That's all it's about. You have to be. Notice what he says. He says, I say to you, unless, or another word is, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? That's a typical answer. The first time I heard the term being born again, I asked the same question. All right, preacher, how am I supposed to be born again? Do I have to go back in my mother's womb? And I never read the Bible before that, but when he told me that, I gave him the same exact answer. So I was Nicodemus. Jesus said, you must be born again. Notice he says, verse 5, Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. In the Greek, he literally says, Why are you so amazed that I said you must be born again? In other words, Nicodemus must have had this shocking look on his face. Because Nicodemus was a serious Jew. He was a Pharisee. He knew his stuff. He knew the Bible. He did the Old Testament. But Jesus said to him, Why? Because Nicodemus is thinking, Well, if I follow the Ten Commandments, I do the feasts, I do that, I'm going to heaven. And Jesus said, No, you must be born again. The only way you can go to heaven, he says, is you must be born again. And then he says, Why are you so amazed at that? Because if I'm Nicodemus, I'm like, because I've been good all my whole life. And now I find out it's not about being good. I've tried not to sin. I've tried all these things, but it's not about following a religion. It's not about, you know, being a Catholic or an Orthodox or a Muslim or a Hindu or, you know, or Confucian or a tree hugger, whatever your religion is. It's not about that. He said it's about being born again. Now, I want to be clear. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. And that's where we really mess up, because we become quote-unquote Christians, and because we're really not Christians. The word Christian means I'm a Christ follower. I'm really a believer, because that's what the New Testament calls people who believe in God. They call them believers. The Bible says that in Antioch they call people Christians. It's just one place. Everything else, they just call them believers. What do you believe? I believe in God. I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe he's the only way to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
And so we add to it, we make it very difficult. And we make it so difficult that nobody wants to become a believer, because we just add all these rules and regulations. Listen, Jesus came to abolish or fulfill the rules and regulation of the Old Testament, because he said, you guys can't follow it at all. You'll never follow it. And he said, I never gave you the Old Testament to be righteous. I gave it so you could see how much you need me. You know, if you're trying to follow the Old Testament, it's great. It's a great way to live. You live a nice, clean life, one of integrity, but you're going to miss the boat. You're never going to live a sinless life, ever. I'm not saying that so you can go and sin. I'm saying your salvation is not based on your sin. Your sins. Your salvation is based on one sin. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Got it? Okay. So watch what he says. He says, you must be born again. So I want you to think about this. Let's see. Can you put up slide? Never mind. No slide yet. How did you get here? So here's what Jesus was saying. How did you get here into this earth? You were born here, right? You can't get here unless you're born here. So how did a cow become a cow? He was born a cow, correct? How did a bird become a bird? He was born a bird. How did a fish become a fish? He was born a fish. And so Jesus is talking about kingdoms. We have the animal kingdom, correct? And in the animal kingdom are all the animals. How do you get in the animal kingdom? You have to be born an animal. How did you get in the human kingdom? You had to be born human. You had to be born a fish to be in the fish kingdom. You had to be Mickey Mouse to get in the magic kingdom. It's a joke. How did you get a human? You had to be born human. There is no such thing as evolution, because a dog or an ape cannot all of a sudden become human, because it's two different kingdoms. You have to be born into the kingdoms. Now, I want you to understand, I said all that to say this. The only way to get into heaven, because it's a different kingdom, is you have to be born into it. That's why he said you must be born again. Why? Because your first birth got you here. Your second birth gets you there. Does that make sense? See, people don't realize that you have to be born into heaven. You can't just walk into it. You can't get there without being born again. Because we were born spiritually dead. And so because our spirits were dead, our bodies are alive, because our spirits were dead, that we had to be born. Look, he says you have to be born, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You are flesh. But he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So your spirit has to be reborn. Once it's born again, it is now connected to a different kingdom. And all the engineers, where's Rocco? Is this making... Rocco's going nuts with all this engineering stuff, technical stuff. Go to Genesis chapter 1 a minute. Is that good so far? All right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I said this about a couple months ago when I talked about the man, woman, child and how God created everything. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So if you don't believe the first verse of the Bible, forget the rest of the Bible. You're not gonna believe the rest of it, right? The first verse of the Bible is a prerequisite to the rest of the Bible. You have to believe that God created everything. You have to. Everything there is, everything you see, even things you don't see, were created by God. He was first. Actually, it says he just was. There was no beginning for God. There is no beginning for God. He is, now, check this out. We say this, that he is the beginning and the end, correct? Right? He is Alpha and Omega, right? So we always look at God as this one line, beginning, end, Alpha, Omega, correct? But you can't look at God that way because he always was. So he is Alpha, Omega. You get it? So he has no beginning, no end. He's a circle, so to speak. He's Alpha, Omega, beginning, end. So where he begins, he ends. So he's not a line, he's circular, so to speak. I'm just giving you a visual, right? So where does a circle begin? Where does a circle begin? You don't know. Why? That's God. He never began. He always was. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Greek literally says, before the beginning, the Word was. So he was. God was always. But it says that he created the heavens and the earth. He did it. Now, look at verse 21. So God created sea creatures, every living thing that moves, and the waters that abound according to their kind. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters, and let the birds multiply on the earth. Verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth according to its kind. Do you see that? In other words, cows give birth to cows. Birds give birth to birds. Humans give birth to humans. Jesus gives birth to Christians, to believers. Good? He's the only one who can give birth to somebody to go to heaven because it's his place. Good? All right, Colossians chapter 1. I know this may kind of maybe, well, no, Colossians 1? No, go to Genesis 2 for a second, sorry. I know this is kind of real basic, but if you don't leave today, you know, being a believer, I want you to be guaranteed you're going to heaven today. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden and tend to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. The Hebrew literally says you shall die dying, or you shall die. It's two deaths. In the Hebrew he talks about, God says to Adam, he says, the day that you eat of it, in other words, the day you disobey me, he says, the day you eat that, you will die and die. So you'll die twice. All right, put up the YOLO slide for a second. Everybody know YOLO? You only live once? No? All the teenagers. Where are the teenagers? They're in the other room. There's a term a couple years ago, YOLO, some singer, I don't know who he was, wasn't too smart. He says, you only live once. There's no such thing as you only live once. You actually live twice. You live twice. You live once here and once in heaven. Once you are born, you are alive forever. You're eternal forever. And your decision on this earth is whether you'll spend the rest of eternity either in heaven or in hell. Because this body will die. Once this body dies, your choice, it's not God's choice. God made his decision. That's why he sent his son. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God made the choice. He says, I want you guys with me. He says, but it's your decision. And we don't live once, we live twice. Go to the spiritual death thing, the spiritual death, physical death. So let me explain it to you and show you graphically up here. All right, so everybody, so here's the die-die. Everybody is born spiritually dead, spiritual death. It's everybody. It's the same for everybody. The moment you're born in this earth, we call it original sin. The moment you're born, you are spiritually dead. And if you die physically, you go to hell. So spiritual death plus physical death equals eternal death or hell. There is a hell. I did some research lately and found out that no preacher is preaching on hell anymore because it doesn't draw a crowd. It's not a good thing to preach on. You'll lose people, and your money, your offerings will go down. So your offerings will go down, and so will the people go down. There really is a hell. Spiritual death plus physical death. In other words, when you're born and your body dies physically, if you're not born again, you'll go to hell. Next one, spiritual life. If you receive Jesus, if you're born again and you die physically, you'll go to heaven. You will die. Everybody will die. The Bible says this in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for all men to die once, and then the judgment. Everybody will die unless the rapture comes, and that's a whole different avenue. Okay? Physical death is the only constant for all cases. You do not have a choice whether you're going to die physically. You do have a choice if you're going to die, if you're going to live spiritually. It's your choice. Amen? I don't care how many drugs you take, how many HGH pills, or you know, how many gels or essential oils, you will die. It's appointed unto all of us to die once. Then comes judgment. Amen? So while you're here, make the best of it. Be a blessing. Help others. Be kind. Love one another. But that's not what gets you to heaven. You do that because you're going to heaven. Your faith must have evidence. There must be substance to your faith. In other words, if I'm a believer, I'm going to make sure you know about it. I'm going to show you there's fruits to my belief in Christ. Right? The fruits of the Spirit, we call it. There's fruits to being a believer. Good? Well, Pastor, I know a lot of good people, and you're saying if they're, and you know, they're not a believer in Christ, and you're saying they're going to hell? I didn't say it. God did. Don't say I'm not sending people to hell. God put it very clear. Again, this is so easy, so basic, that we mess it up because it's too easy. All right, Colossians 1:16. Go to the other slide now. Now watch this. This will make perfect sense to you. Colossians 1:16. The arrow down. Colossians 1:16. You there yet? Yes? Sharon, Colossians 1:16. Okay, let me read it first. It says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities and powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." He's talking about Jesus. Hey, what's up? You can sit in my chair. Oh. Praise the Lord. All right, ready? Let's look at this slide. You have the Father, right? And you have us, creation, everything. Notice that there's... I try to make a funnel, but it's a funnel that goes through Jesus. In other words, everything the Father did came through Jesus. Everybody see that? And John 1:3, all things were made through him. Through who? Jesus. Now ready? Everything God did, remember in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Everything how God created, he did it through his Son. Everything. Everything. Every single thing that God created, he created through Jesus. It came through him. Everybody understand that? All things were made through him, and nothing was made that was made. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Everything came through him. The other side, it says, oh, Colossians 1:16. Everybody good? So you came through him. I don't care if you're from Greece, Italy, Africa, Egypt, Philippines, China. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what race you are, what color, how short, tall, fat, ugly, skinny. It doesn't matter what you, we all came from him. We were created through him. Good? So, let's flip it. Sharon, next slide. The only way back to him is through the same way. So there is no other way to heaven. Because heaven is closed to everything else. There's one door. He is the door. He said it, I am the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why did he say that? Because we came through him. The only way back is through him. So there's no way outside this funnel. There is no way. There's no door to heaven. You can't go to heaven outside of him. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely no way. Why do we preach Jesus? Because he is the only way. God didn't choose to create us through an ape, through a salamander, through an amoeba. He didn't choose to make us through a religion. He made us through his son. And because, listen, we came through him. In other words, we were filtered, like right through him, because he knew one day he would be us. In other words, he made us this way because he would become one of us one day. He knew we would fail, but he yet loved us even though we failed. He said, I'm still going to make... Imagine in heaven the three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, having a conference. Father, you sure you want to do this? You know they're going to disobey us. They're going to kill each other. They're going to murder each other, rape each other. They're going to create religions. They're going to have wars. They're going to do the most ungodly things to each other. And the Father said, yes, because I still love them, and they will be us. We will make them in our image. And the Father looked and said, let us make man in our image. And let them have dominion over the earth and the sea and the air and everything there is. Let them be just like us. Well, Father, how are you going to do that? I'll make them through you. And he made us through him. Janice and I made our kids. They came through us. And because they came through us, they look like us. And because we came through Jesus, we look like him. And he came and looked like us. Bible says he didn't come like this handsome, 6 foot tall, dark haired, blue eyed, six pack walking dude. He says he'd look like just a commoner. He looked regular. He was not a man of stature, it said. Why? Because he was one of us. Cool? What's the next slide? I don't even know. I forgot. Is there a next slide? Oh, no. Forget YOLO. We did that already. Is there another slide? No. Is there another slide? No. Okay. No? Yes? No. Okay. Thank you. You can get rid of that slide. So go to Matthew 7. I'm going to wind this up. Are we good so far? Matthew 7. I'm not bashing religions. I'm not. I'm telling you what he said. He's the way. For me to preach something else would be, what do they call it? Be a heretic. It's heresy. It's heresy for anybody to preach anything but Christ. He is the only way, period. Matthew 7, Let's go there for a second. So let's kind of wind this up a bit. Matthew 7. Kind of wind it up. So here's a scripture that really bothers me. Matthew 7, verse 21. It really irks me that he said this, because I always throw myself under condemnation. Matthew 7, 21. You there? I want you to see it for yourselves in your Bibles. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So in other words, it's not enough for you to know him. He has to know you. In other words, it's not okay. You can't just come to church and say, "Anybody want to be born again? Just raise your hand, confess Christ. You're good. Okay, see you later. Dominus omnes, you're in heaven." No. From the moment you accept Christ, you now have to do things that make him notice you. You can't just run around doing your own thing. When you, Romans 10:9, can you put that up? Romans 10:9 is very clear. It says that if you confess Jesus is Lord, how do you get born again? He tells us. You confess Jesus is Lord. That means the word Lord is not just, you know, like Lord Artie. You know, Janice calls me in the morning, "Lord Artie, what can I do for you this morning? Can I get your slippers?" No, just kidding. Lord, when you declare somebody Lord, you are submitting to their Lord, their rulership, that you're declaring, "You are my master and I am your slave." Paul said many times he was a slave to Christ. Why? Because he declared him as Lord. And if you're my Lord, that means I do what you tell me to do. I follow your will. I live in your kingdom. In other words, the moment you confess Christ, become born again, you are not only living in this kingdom, but you are now a citizen of his kingdom. So you have dual citizenship, praise the Lord. So that means that we, even though this flesh is subject to this world, listen very carefully, this flesh is still subject to this world. I still want to eat. This flesh is subject, you could tell. This flesh struggles with this world. And when I give into it, it's called sin. This flesh struggles with this world, but this spirit obeys him. So that's when we fight internally. We have a fight. I want to do what's right, but my body's still struggling. You know, my mind is still struggling. The Bible says, though, this is the only thing that matters. You hold on to Christ with every breath you have, with every strength of your fiber. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything you got." Why? Because this will struggle. We have struggles in the flesh. But he says, "But I'm still going to heaven because I'm born of his kingdom. And he knows my name." Listen, this is how he knows your name. That if I confess him, right, we know we're born again. But if anyone has sinned, confess your sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. In other words, "Hey, Father, I need to talk to you for a minute. This flesh in this kingdom failed again, and I have sinned." And he says, "I know your name. I know who you are. Because you're not one of those that just runs around and sinning and doesn't give a hoot. Because I never knew you. You'd never come to me. But the moment you sin," he says, "just come to me and let's talk about it." He said, "That's how I know you. And I know some of you should keep God pretty busy." It's real. Lord, here I am again. It's okay. And he says to you, he goes, here's what I call grace. That you can come boldly into my throne room. You can come anytime you want, because you see that blood? You see this blood? That gives you right to come into this throne room anytime you want. He says, listen, son, I know you're weak. I've provided a way. Take advantage of it, or you're going to have a price to pay. Romans 10:9, please. I'm almost finished. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess Jesus as Lord, confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead. Listen, it's not just that he died, it's that he was raised. Because that gave us, his resurrection opened up heaven for us. It says, if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hebrews 11:1. I'll just give you a few more scriptures and we're done. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. You can put it up on the screen before I get there? Probably not. Hebrews 11:1. Ready? I'm going to try to beat her. Okay. Oops. There it is. It says, now faith is, Hebrews 11:1. I beat you. Now faith, yeah, get the kids in. Get the youth in too. We're going to do communion. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I hope for heaven. How many of you hope for heaven? Yeah. Yes? You hope for it. Hope is something in the future. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're not getting it. It's I hope for it because it's future. Hope points to future things. Faith is now. Yeah. You understand the difference? There's a difference between faith and hope. Hope looks to the future. Faith is what I do now with it. He says, now faith, my faith now, because it's now faith. Is the substance of things hoped for. So I have faith in Christ because I'm hoping for heaven. And right now, and he says, and it's the evidence of things not seen. My life should be evidence of things that I don't see yet. So I should live this earth with an evidence. In other words, it's got to be tangible. It's got to be I'm living for Christ. Right? Why? Because it's something I don't see. How many of you ever seen heaven? Nobody. Don't raise your hand because you're liars. You've never seen heaven. Listen, you've never seen heaven. Now, I know it's this spiritual people. Pastor, I had a dream, and I saw heaven. Listen, none of you have been to heaven. But yet, think about this. We hear about it. We talk about it. We think about it. And yet, this is a place that we've never seen, but we all want to go there. That's my evidence now. My faith now is something that I'm looking forward to one day. I don't know when it is. I hope I do my job on this earth well. I hope the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when my time comes. Then I will receive the reward of everything I've done in this earth. But until then, I've got to live now faith with an evidence of a substance that I'm hoping for. Amen? So my question to you again is, how many of you in this room are guaranteed, no matter what you ever do, you're guaranteed you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. Now, some of you still don't have your hands up. I'm going to ask again because I want to make sure. How many of you, and that includes everybody in this room, how many of you guarantee you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hand down. How many of you are not guaranteed, still don't think you're going to heaven? Anybody? Don't be embarrassed. Anybody? No? Good. Good. If we can get 100% of you in heaven, we've done our job. But now you've got to get somebody else in heaven with you. You hear me? You can't keep it to yourself. You can't. Don't be selfish. The Bible says that that if we publicly confess Christ, he will confess to the Father. Don't keep Christ to yourself. It's a gift that you can keep on giving and keep on giving and keep on giving. Be the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen. There could be another Billy Graham in this room right now. You just don't know. Bow your heads, please. And we're going to receive communion. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up. Father in heaven, I pray that I've done the job that you've asked me to do this morning. And I pray, Father, that people didn't raise their hand just because to fit in or stand out. Father, one day I'm going to present Word Alive Bible Church to you. And I hope and pray every one of them is in there with me in heaven. I pray that lives continue to be transformed, changed. And Lord, I pray that you would turn each and every person in this church into an evangelist.